President Barack Obama will sign the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act, or the DATA Act, into law this week. It's a legislative victory for the open government community. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, is here to tell us why getting the bill through Congress and to the president's desk may actually have been the easy part of this nearly three-year effort. Hi there, Jason.
Good afternoon, Jared.
So fill us in briefly on, first of all, what the DATA Act actually calls for.
Well, the DATA Act actually is a bill with a very long history of attempts by Congress and the open government community, you know, at large, to make the government data more easily accessible. I mean, this is a broad effort that really goes back years and decades. You know, let's all go back to the Freedom of Information Act when that was passed. It continued in the 90s with the Clinger-Cohen Act. It morphed into the E-Government Act of 2003. Throw in there the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act, or FFATA, one of my favorite acronyms in all of government, and the Government Performance and Results Act and its update in 2010. All those bills, this gathering of bills that are really trying to pry federal data from the bowels of government and really share it more broadly, make it useful. So the DATA Act is here now. It's going to become law later this week, and it calls on OMB and Treasury to lead an effort over the next 2 years to standardize and make data public in a wide variety of ways, you know, financial management data, procurement data, grant data, and others. And the goal is to improve transparency in agency management and to make compliance with those laws and regulations less burdensome. Virginia Senator Mark Warner is one of the bill's authors.
Congressman Issa and I, our original versions were probably even a bit stronger, but, you know, we've got something now that has actually passed. It has been an interesting path, getting, I think, some parts of the bureaucracy to realize this really is Congress's intent. You need to let this information get a little more sunlight. You need to let there be a little more transparency. We need to be working. This will not happen overnight, we realize, but the common financial standards, the American taxpayer, and all of us deserve that. In an era when every major private sector enterprise can follow the money, we ought to be able to do the same at the federal government level.
Now, Warner says the DATA Act was needed because there was a lack of coherent financial management systems across the government. It made it virtually impossible to follow the money. That's the old line from that Jerry Maguire movie, Follow the Money, right? Across the government today, maybe that was Show Me the Money. But either way, the goal here is to follow the money, and the DATA Act eventually can make it easier to see what happens from that dollar that Congress appropriates it until it gets into the Treasury's general ledger system. Now, the bill also calls for more oversight by inspector generals and GAO over how that money is being spent and all that data that's being produced, and for Treasury to improve the data quality and make data easier to access on the USAspending.gov portal.
In the open government community that you talked about and has been a driving force behind this bill on and off the Hill, there seems to be a fair amount of optimism. Why are we seeing that, do you think?
Well, this soon-to-be law really does build on the success of the Recovery Act, and as well as the Recovery Accountability and Transparency, or RAT Board. In fact, the RAT Board has been extended for 2 years to oversee Hurricane Sandy money. I mean, that's how much Congress thought it was doing such a good job. And in fact, its work under the Recovery Act will end May 1st. So it's actually pretty exciting to see a government organization actually complete its mission and not just have Congress extended and extended and extended again. It's now moving on to another mission. Now, under the DATA Act, the Recovery Board will actually transition its Recovery Operations Center, which is really its business analytics, its data analytics, you know, it's a very powerful set of tools, to the Treasury Department, and work closely with Treasury to get the bill's implementation going. Catherine Tai is the chairwoman of the RAT Board and the IG at the Education Department.
We really changed the conversation about transparency and accountability. Although we were not the first federal venture into transparency, think FFATA and even earlier ventures, and nor were we the first venture into accountability, I think that putting those two concepts together in a board of independent inspectors general was really a very unique way of going about business, and I think ultimately a successful experiment. It has been clear to us on the board that transparency really does drive accountability, both in terms of making the public part of the process. These are the so-called citizen IGs that transparency gives an opportunity to put out there, but also in terms of enhancing the quality of information related to federal spending. that really is critical to the data analysis that we have done to prevent and detect fraud, waste, and abuse.
Now, Treasury and the Government Accountability and Transparency Board, or the GAP Board, which actually spun off from the Recovery Board, will play key roles in this implementation. And the fact that the GAP Board already has been working on some of the most difficult challenges around data standards and accountability over the last 3 years is a good sign of really just how important this idea of transparency is becoming over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Dick Ginman is the chairman of the GAP Board and the director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy. He says there is no daylight between the GAP Board and what they're doing and the requirements under the Data Act, especially around standards and increasing transparency. Let me just give you a couple examples of what the GAP Board has been up to. Ginman says there is a FAR case that he expects to be finalized later this year to standardize what they call cage codes. Now, this is where this would let people, you know, you, me, other vendors, see the ownership connections between companies. Because right now there's different listings of companies. I think if you remember, Jared, Senator Claire McCaskill made a big deal out of Lockheed Martin at a hearing about a month or two ago. She goes, we went to, you know, FedBizOps, or I'm sorry, she went to the system for award management and found 40 different instances of Lockheed Martin. There was Lockheed. There was Lockheed Martin Corp. There's
capitalized in different ways, I'm
exactly.
sure. We see that all the time, yeah.
LMCO and so on and so forth. And what Mr. Ginman says is all of this will come together under one simple cage code. No matter how you list them, they all will kind of, you'll see the parent organization and all the children that came from the parent. Now, he also says that they're using unique identifiers for contracts across the government. He says, listen, this is how bad the problem is. You wouldn't name the agency, but at one agency, they had 6 different formats for how they identified contracts. And that's bad quality. That's bad data. It's not good for anyone. Now, the way this will work, this idea, this unique identifier, is the first few digits of the ID will be the office that's putting the contract out. The next 2 digits will tell you what year it was done in. The next set of digits will tell you the type of contract, and then there'll be an 8-digit serial number that is specific to each agency, and that will have smart designators within those code. So it's going to be very easy to say, oh, this was a contract done by NAVC Air in 2014. It's a BPA, and boom, here's the other information that comes with it. Now, finally, Ginman says the GAP Board created a requirement for line items. So each individual price for under each contract will be available, and it's going to be part of how GSA and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy are trying to create a data-rich prices paid portal.
I think the GAP Board has brought the groups together and has put a focus to it and has driven us to, one, the absolute need to get to data standards. I think that was a clear lesson learned out of the RAP Board and a clear requirement to get to unique IDs. Yeah, so that we got the wherewithal to do that. And I think the GAP Board can take credit for putting a focus on it and driving it and getting individual groups of people at the agencies to go do it.
Now, that same focus will be key to implement the Data Act.
We mentioned on the way into this, Jason, that the process of actually legislating and getting it through the Hill and getting it to the president might have been the easy part. So over the next 3 years, what are the challenges toward implementation?
You know, I think there's several lessons learned from the challenges and some would say the failures of FFATA, the Federal Financial Accountability and Transparency Act. I think the first lesson learned is really about leadership. OMB and Treasury, without a doubt, have to be leaders. They have to be out in front, really being not just cheerleaders, but really showing that this can be done. You know, the Recovery Board's Ty says leadership of the IGs is one of the reasons why that Recovery Board actually found success.
It's time to sort of roll up our sleeves, and particularly them because they're at the center of implementation. But as everybody has said here, is they need to work with the various constituency. But let's come up with a plan that meets the timetable. I don't want to give up right now and say, wow, those timetables are never going to be met. I don't think that's where we should start off the conversation. I think the expectation should be that those timetables, in fact, are met, maybe even improved upon.
Areas that would be challenging, including the need for universal award identification. She says the GAP Board has considered that, and OMB has pushed each agency to have its own approach based on a set of standards. Another big issue around this implementation of the Data Act is money. Now, Congress tends to tell the executive branch to do something and not provide them with any money. Now, the RAP board received a separate appropriation. They actually, I think they got that right. In previous years, they got money for salaries and expenses. This past year, they had somewhere around $28 million so they could hire people. They could, you know, have money for systems. Now, lawmakers did not go this far with the Data Act, but it did give Treasury an important tool. Treasury can use its franchise fund to collect money from other agencies. There's the reimbursable money collection, which is commonly known as pass the hat, or there's a fee-for-service basis as well. So what they can do is no direct appropriation, but at least there's a mechanism to get money and manage money to help pay for these changes that are coming. Now, a third big implementation challenge will be industry's role. Remember, industry is going to provide the data to the systems in many regards, as well as the technology and skills to create the systems. Now, Trey Hodgkins is the Senior Vice President for Public Sector, IT Alliance for Public Sector.
Industry is supportive of the fact that this has a relatively centralized implementation structure around Treasury and OMB and the GAB board in the hopes that that will produce a consistent set of requirements. I would suggest government can be helpful by using the pilot programs and the time frame that they offer and the phased approach as a way to make sure we ferret out the best practices that arise, that we can discern from that, and use those instead of simply creating a mechanism where it's compliance for compliance sake. And then lastly, make sure that what we create and implement on the back end has the opportunity to help you make better decisions and us make better decisions, again, instead of just data collection for data collection's sake.
So this idea of industry and stakeholders report really is really important. GAO found in a report from last September that one of the reasons why the RAP board was successful is because they did reach out to many different people, and Treasury really must take that same approach.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. More at federalnewsradio.com later on this afternoon. Thanks as always, Jason.
Thank you.